Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Wandering Road Podcast. I'm your host Chris, alongside my co-host Dean, and for today's show, we're going to be talking about aliens and what the hell happened to all the alien coverage. You know, we had those congressional hearings, we had those sightings in Nevada, setting up all these things for disclosure, and it just kind of fell off the map. But before we get started with today's show, if you'd like to be a guest on the show or would like to submit your stories to us, you can submit them anonymously. You can reach us at twroadpodcast@gmail.com. Again, that's twroadpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to have you on as a guest on the show. We've recently had our first listener on the show and they said they had a good time. So take it from them. That was from episode 41 with our guest, Will. If you haven't listened to that one, go ahead and give that a listen. It was a great show. He had a good time. But again, if you'd like to be on the show, please reach out to us. We love interfacing with our community. And with that, we'll get started with today's show. How you doing today, buddy? If you notice, my microphone sounds a little different because I have joined the Shure Club along with you.
Santa was extra good to you this year. He brought you a nice, shiny new Shure mic.
Yeah, no shade to my Blue Yeti. Absolutely love the microphone. But anytime we would get on a podcast, I'd see you on that using that microphone, and then JJ would come on, and he had the same microphone. And the other podcast we guest featured on, I think it was the Paranormal Rundown. Like, everybody there either had a Rode microphone or a Shure microphone. And then there was me, my broke ass with with a Blue Yeti. No shade to anyone that uses a Blue Yeti. But
we all had Huffies, and you had the old knockoff bike, and you were just like hanging out with the kids in the cul-de-sac, and we're like, oh, look at our cool new bikes. And Chris is like, oh, cool.
You all had Huffies and I had a Schwinn. How you doing on this fine Friday, dude?
I'm hanging in there. This is another episode for, I mean, I like being transparent. That's like one of my mantras in life is transparency. So we'll just let all the listeners know that we had another episode lined up today that fell through outside of our control, which is totally fine. Not a huge deal at all. That led us to have to flex immediately and try to find a new topic. So we've been wanting to revisit aliens and science and space and all that stuff for a while, because we've been laying really heavy into the paranormal and the cryptid stuff. And we always like, I personally like talking about aliens and space a little bit more. I think it's because I've spent way more time reflecting on like space and reality and all those things over the years. Space. You want to learn about space, you got to learn about the planets. If you want to learn about the planets, you got to listen to me right now. Sun, Mercury, Uranus,
water planets,
and Pluto. And this one's they didn't have a name for yet. It's too far away. Yet. If we sound like raving lunatics and you have no idea what we're talking about, let's throw some awesome prose to
Dr. Steve Brule.
Yeah, Dr. Brule from Brule's Rules on Adult Swim. It was John C. Reilly, one of the most underrated comedy actors of all time. Actually, not even underrated. Like, everybody knows how funny John C. Reilly is. Like, he's just like the quintessential guy who like lays low, doesn't really jump out into the limelight a lot, but it just absolutely nails every role he does. And he nailed that Dr. Brule's Rules for a long time, especially with that space one that we just referenced. But yeah, anyway, I don't know. I think like just space in general is just fascinating, and you can just go on and on about it. And that's why we're going to revisit it, because, yeah.
I'm warning you, if you go down a space rabbit hole right now, I will stab you in the neck with a knife. Do not touch my drum set.
Do not touch my drums. Hey, I'm the drummer. You don't touch my drum set.
Okay. All right. We'll stop being jackasses.
We just lost half of our listeners.
I know.
We're just riffing so badly today. I'm sorry, everyone.
Yeah. But hey, man, it's the last weekend of 2023.
That's crazy.
So, you know,
that's crazy.
We may have some adult beverages with us, you know, to, you know, lighten.
How about you? How about you pick for me today? You pick for me today. So we'll just let everyone know that we will at some point have a nice, sexy sounding Irishman on who I still am not convinced is not Colin Farrell. I'm not convinced it's not Colin Farrell. And you leave that in there because I think it's Colin Farrell. I have three options of whiskey today that I was going to ask him which one I should choose. And I'm sure he was going to say they're all shite. But I'll let you choose today, Mr. Chris. Should I have a little bit of Jackie Daniels, a little bit of Maker's Marker, or go after the super classic Talisker 10-year aged whiskey that gives me a huge headache?
Mix all three in your coffee. Okay.
Yeah, so, and that's how I died. I'm going to try some Maker's Mark. I mean,
Maker's Mark. I almost said Mark. Member's Mark, like a fucking sample.
Oh, this is a bad idea. I just drank.
For now Christmas. He's just pouring everyone. He is pouring the entire bottle into
his mouth.
Yeah. I don't know how this episode is going to. I'm kidding, folks.
Ooh, that actually smells really. That smells good, actually. You know, my signature drink for many years was Jack and Coke. I was obsessed with Jack Daniels and Coca-Cola. And I don't know why I don't really. Like the flavor doesn't hit for me anymore like it used to. This has taken me back to my days of sitting on my mom's couch in the basement drinking Jack and Coke and playing Fallout 3. Oh my God. Those were the days, man.
That sounds very lonely.
It was so bad. No, don't cut it out. I've become very successful in my life. I have a family now and I am very sociable and I have a really good job. And I would like people to know how lonely and terrible things were for me back then, because if I can make it from there to here, I was super fat on my mom's couch playing video games and not really knowing what I was going to do with my life. And here I am today making really good money in Hawaii with my own home. My family, I'm in good shape, and it can happen to you too, Clink.
Yes, sir. Amen to that. We were both fucking fat asses.
I know.
Like, we were so big. It was so bad.
Yeah. My values were not healthy.
No.
Yours are healthy, Mr. Good Jeans. You still have a little bit of extra carriage around the section there, but you don't. I still have worse values than you. Like my triglycerides and my cholesterol, and you're like, no cholesterol problems, no triglyceride problems. You can eat whatever you want. It's going to hit you like a freight train, man. You better watch out.
You know, oddly enough, no one in my family really bad issues unless that's it's great, like diabetes, man. And most of it is self-inflicted because nobody like fucking works out. I'm probably the only one that
I always tell you this every once in a while, and this is, I swear this is the last thing we'll riff on before we get into the topic, but you have an amazing hairline, you have amazing facial structure, and if you ever got ripped, you would look like, dude, trust me, you would get,
I was,
you would get
when
so
I was
much attention
26.
When you're 26. Well, get back like, into it, man.
I have like the dad bod.
And you're not even a dad.
No.
You're getting ahead of the game.
But aliens, my friend.
Aliens.
So as we said in our very, very long-winded riff of an intro, that it's kind of fallen off the map recently.
Yeah.
They were talking about all this disclosure. We had like, I don't know, like 3 or 4 episodes, like very long episodes. We even did a 2-parter on that congressional hearing, disclosure and hypotheticals of what it would mean if they actually disclosed, you know, extraterrestrial life and us being in contact with an alien civilization, of what that would mean, what the ramifications would be. But here we are pushing into 2024 and it's kind of fallen to the wayside. Like nobody talks about aliens anymore. And it wasn't until recently I sent you a video that talks about the dark forest theory. But first I want to preface by saying it's a fictional theory from the novel, The Dark Forest, by Chinese author Liu Cixin, if I got that right.
That's a pretty good pronunciation. I'd say Liu Cixin. Yeah.
The theory is that it attempts to explain silence of extraterrestrial civilizations in the universe. So us as a civilization back in the 70s, we sent out what that satellite with the golden record that shows our likeness and our exact positioning in the solar system. Some of the music that we listen to and some of our culture and our civilization and history of our civilization, you know, as much information that they could fit on it about humanity. Some people say that that's probably the wrong thing to do, especially at our current civilization level, which I think we're like a type zero. We're just a planetary civilization. We don't have warp capability. We don't have light speed technology or anything of that sort. We're fucking relying on rocket propulsion and burning jet fuel, which, quick side note, they did successfully have another fusion reaction type of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple of weeks ago. I think that was the second time they were able to successfully do it. So who knows? Maybe that'll creep into our space programs and better our civilization, but maybe it'll probably go into weapons, but who knows. The entire theory itself, even though it's a fictional one, I feel like anytime, you know, scientists and whatnot, and, you know, just people like us on these podcasts talk about aliens, it's all fictional until we actually encounter an alien civilization. If we ever encounter an alien civilization. But what are your thoughts on that whole theory that I just talked about?
I want to address something that people don't talk about very often, which is the political side and from the vantage point of society and how those in power and politics and stuff like that decide what information needs to be released when and how the public handles it and all that stuff. I mean, just look at the idea of disclosures, and we have stuff like the Freedom of Information Act, which we were talking about beforehand, that makes things relatively easy for people to request release of specific, like maybe classified information or something. And it obviously doesn't always get released the way that some people want it to, but that process does work. And there are offices out there. Like, I think people who are separated from the inner workings of the government and don't really understand it or have seen it for themselves, like, they automatically think that it's some dingy dark room with like two or three people like coveting and holding all the secrets and being really strategic and secretive about what they release and all that. No, it's not like that. There's like a huge office. There's actual people like you and me who work there, and there are actual processes to get this information released. So I think that if I had to guess about what's going on with the ebb and flow over the last 20 years of disclosure coming back into the public eye and UFO cases and military measurement cases and sightings and all that stuff, and then it goes away and then it comes back and all that, I think we are, as a society, being intentionally desensitized, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. I think what's going on is the government, the highest echelons of the government and agencies, they know that these things are real, and they've known they're real for a long time. There's so many indications that they know it's real, and that these spacecraft or these aerial phenomenon are intelligently designed and intelligently run by non-humans. And I think what's happening is over the last 20 years, they've slowly pulled the strings of media and the timing of the releases to kind of trickle down into society this idea and normalization of this idea that aliens are real. They're actually older than us. They're more advanced than us. And then I think we're at a point now where I've seen memes about this. It's like people will say, like, I'll see a meme of like someone like, oh yeah, aliens are here and they're making contact with us. They just landed on the front lawn of the White House. And then someone says like, okay, I don't fucking care. What happened with this other piece of what's going on with Ukraine? You know, it's just like we're getting to a point where no one really gives two shits anymore if aliens come down and reveal themselves. And I really think that was all by design. That's by design. The trickle of information to get people to normalize the idea that aliens are here. And then once it comes out, maybe it comes out in 5, 10, maybe it takes another 20 years. But I'm really sure that it's going to happen sometime within our lifetime.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you, because I'm glad you brought up the whole desensitizing of the population, because you can make the argument that our media does that in general. I mean, look at all these video games that we have. Mass Effect, Halo, what else do we have? Fallout, even though that's kind of more apocalyptic. But you can run into aliens in Fallout 3. You get abducted onto the ship.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in our media, there's movies about aliens. Like, Alien versus Predator, then the Predator movies, then the Alien movies, and then you had that stupid fucking movie of Cowboys versus Aliens.
Oh God,
dumbest fucking shit I've ever seen. But
they had, right, they had to trickle into that, get all the corners.
Yeah,
go ahead, man.
But you make a valid point that it's desensitization, like little by little. It's like an IV drip.
I don't think it's intentional. In all respects, I'm totally with you. I think that I just want to be clear to everyone listening. I do not think that there is some cabal that is capable of pulling every single string in every single corner of media and entertainment and all that stuff. No, dude.
I'm kidding.
I know. Dude, I will have any argument with anybody who wants to try to say that that's possible. I don't care who you are, what human you are, unless you have like the most advanced artificial intelligence, which at that point in time, you wouldn't even be able to keep up with it to ask it the right questions. You would literally have to ask it to come up with the questions that need to be asked of itself to do the things that need to be done. Maybe we'll get to that point in society at some point, but like we're nowhere near that now with our fragile human brains. But what I think is happening is that like 90% of the news, especially at the local and the regional level, and especially the entertainment industry, I really don't think that the government or whoever's in control has to manipulate that to inject aliens into the culture. I think that people like you and I who are creative and love to tell stories and love sci-fi will do that themselves. Like, look at us. Like, nobody came down from the government and said, you two asshole idiots are going to do a podcast today on aliens because we're going to start to trickle it back. No, we're interested in aliens and we want to talk about it. And it would be exciting for us to have disclosure and actually find out aliens are real, but we're just doing it like by ourselves. There's no guide strings. However, we are being slightly manipulated in the sense that there are congressional hearings going on about this, or they have been going on. And there has been large news media and news story releases by very significantly sized conglomerates that have global reach. And those stories kind of re-inject this imagination into people like you and I that reinvigorate the discussion. And I think that that's been happening for so long that like if aliens came out and said, hey, we're here, we're real, and they came out in like the 60s or 70s or 80s, I really think there would have been a massive panic and possibly a collapse of the economy. And I still think it's possible for that to happen now, but it's definitely less likely that we're going to have a significant shockwave in society if and when aliens are disclosed to the public. So I, in my personal opinion, just saying that out loud to myself, I think that it's going to take another 20, maybe even 50 years before someone official comes out and says, yes, aliens are intelligent and they're here and they want to interact with us, or maybe they don't want to interact with us, but they're here. So you and I maybe will be around for that, but I think for sure we will have disclosure of extraterrestrial life either here or elsewhere with our children, like the next generation or whatever. That's just my two cents.
No, that makes complete sense. But I wanted to circle back to the dark forest theory and your thoughts on the concept that the reason that, let's say, hypothetically, we don't have contact with aliens, as, you know, some people claim that we do, you know, for some reason we're sending out these messages, which we are via satellite, and we're not getting anything back. Do you think that it's a safety mechanism? Do you think it's a safety precaution that these civilizations are potentially staying radio silent because there's probably another civilization out there that is hostile? And what do civilizations need to survive? Resources. And when you broadcast that, hey, look at me, I'm over here, what you're sending out is that, hey, we're a thriving civilization. And in order to become a thriving civilization, we have an abundance of resources to draw upon. But here we are. You can meet us at this location. Please don't hurt us. That's how I view it.
There is an amazing show that I know I've talked about before on this podcast, but they have already tackled the reason why I'm going to bring them up and reference them, because I don't want anyone to point the finger and say, oh, they already did that in some XYZ show that's already been discussed. It's a novel idea in some regards for us, but
is it Stargate?
It's Stargate.
It is the Foggate.
It's the Foggate.
Do you want to get sued?
And if for those of you who don't know, we're referencing Aqua Teen Hunger Force, a hilarious show.
What do they call it? The Plutonians or something like that?
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's the Moonanites that
the Moonanites, give the fingers to
everybody. Yeah, they're the Plutonians.
Oh, the sassiness is just, I say that, I actually, okay, really quickly, I say this to my daughter all the time. You know, we have like, we have these mannerisms that we pick up from media or like entertainment, and I don't know why that we have to say things like, I repeat this for years, and I don't know why my brain globbed onto it, but I still say this to like my wife and my daughter. Like if I have gum, or my daughter's like, I want to try gum. And I'm like, you're too young for gum. Or my wife wants a piece of gum. I'll reference the Moonanites because there's this one episode where the little Moonanite, he goes into a 7-Eleven and he tries to get a lottery ticket or something. And he comes out with gum and he's chewing gum. And then the bigger Moonanite is like, where did you get gum? Like they're too poor to afford gum. And I say that all the time to my daughter. Where did you get gum? Like it's so hard to get gum. Anyway. I just had to tell that real quick because it's so ridiculous. But okay, so I promise I'm going somewhere with this. So Stargate SG-1 is Stargate's the movie. If you have, I'm sure
Dean, just like, read the prompter. I'm
kidding. Just say the line that they paid us to say. No, I wish that was the case. If you don't know what Stargate is, I'm pretty sure you know what Stargate is because if you're listening to this, you have probably touched on some area of that or at least heard of it. But if you have not, it's a great movie that came out, I think, in the 90s. And it was kind of like on the heels of Star Wars and stuff like that and traveling to other planets and kind of intergalactic civilization. But they made the show. It was a show that was based out of Canada. And the two writers, I can't remember their names, brilliant guys. I'm sure they're still around. They must be older, much older now, because the show Stargate SG-1 came out in the early 2000s, I think, or even like in the late 90s, early 2000s. But they parlayed that show into so many series. And one thing they did amazing that they got after what the concept we're about to explore is this idea that there are different levels of alien civilizations that if you get to the Kardashev scale, so Nikolai Kardashev in 1964 came up with this hypothetical scale about alien civilizations and what they might look like and what each civilization would have to achieve in order to get to the next type. So officially, I think we're type 0 or 0.5 or even 0.1 or 1 because civilization type 1 is planetary, type 2 is stellar. Type 3 is galactic, and I think that there's more, and it's pretty self-explanatory. You know, civilization 1 only relies on its own planet, really can't leave or go far from its own planet. Type 2 can travel stellar, which means between different solar systems, but within its own region. And then galactic is obviously going between galaxies. So,
dude, I don't mean to cut you, but according to this scale, we're not even a fucking type 1. We're a type 0.
Yeah, we're not. We're type 0, right? That's what I thought. Yeah. Jeez. Because what's planetary? Like planetary learned to harness all of its planetary forces or something like that?
Can store and use the equivalent of all the energy in and reaching its home planet and become interplanetary.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. So we're not even type 1, which means we have a long ass way to go to catch up on this scale. But the progression of what I'm trying to get at is that this show Stargate SG-1 did this awesome thing where they had the bad guys who were the ghoul. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were ghoul. it's not ghoul. It's ghouled with a D.
A ghouled.
What
the hell is that? It is a ghoul.
It is a gold. That's another Aqua Teen Hunger. They did an episode with Stargate jokes in it. So the Gould are a race of aliens that are like snake-like creatures. They literally look like snakes. And for some reason, they're capable of injecting themselves into human DNA and human bodies. And they're symbiotic. But they take over their host. So they get into the human, and they can completely control what the human does and all that stuff. Their eyes glow, whatever. They're evil. They want universal domination or whatever. However,
kind of sounds like the Borg from Star Trek.
Okay.
The
interesting.
Borg, where they like just assimilate everybody.
They just assimilate. Okay. But they're bad, right?
Yeah, they're bad. They just like their whole goal is to just assimilate the entire universe into that like Borg hive mind collective. And when you said symbiotic, it kind of reminded me of like Venom and Carnage from Spider-Man when they
that's a great connection. I think that's definitely compatible. The interesting thing is they have the bad guys who are like, they're the bad guys in Stargate are much more powerful, or pretty significantly more powerful than humans. However, they're not as powerful as the Asgard. The Asgard are, they look like the traditional, like the quintessential aliens with the really short gray, big black eye or big eyes or whatever. But those guys are altruistic. They have evolved to a state where they can create their own energy for the most part. They travel, they have a planet, but they can travel intergalactically. They have super advanced technology, but they are on the side of humans, and they try to combat or help the humans combat along with other civilizations in the universe, or the section of galaxies or whatever, to try to combat evil. But they're spread thin. They don't have unlimited resources, even though they can fabricate resources for themselves. So I think that they hit the nail on the head. If there really is a situation in the universe like this, maybe you're right. Maybe there are civilizations that, if they knew about our resources, they were more advanced than us, they can get here and then completely enslave us or take our resources and wipe us out. However, I think that there's indications that there are even more advanced civilizations that are visiting us. And I would guess that once you reach that level, where you don't need to take resources from anybody else, you can completely synthesize and fabricate your own resources, you know, pull it from zero point space or whatever, like get unlimited energy from wherever you want without harming anything else, then you don't have any reason to wipe out another civilization. If anything, you would want to progress them so they can experience the beauty and amazingness of science and nature that they've gotten to experience over millions of years. So I wouldn't be too worried about people intercepting a gold disc that has our location, only if we didn't have the top cover of like super intelligent, altruistic, advanced alien technology or aliens.
Yeah, what you brought up about, you know, the different races in Stargate, they address all of these questions. And I feel like Star Trek addresses these questions as well. You still can't help but think like this is always like a doomsday scenario that like pops up in my head. You ever seen Independence Day where they like appear on all of these major population hubs and then they drop a beam and just like blow shit up? Yeah. That is my fear. Was it Stephen Hawking before he passed away said that we probably should not be looking for extraterrestrials?
Yeah, I think he did say something like that. Better just to go with our advancement of what we have instead of trying to communicate so early without advanced defenses. But the thing with that though is, like, say something like Independence Day where they use these massive beams, it's extremely costly to use that kind of energy. So if they had energy beams that can create that much damage, they would have to get that resource from somewhere, presumably Earth. So like if they really needed to collect resources from Earth, I mean, I guess it's possible that they could just be assholes and they just want to obliterate. They're just literally playing like a video game in their head where like, let's just go rage kill everything we see. Let's put that aside for now as a theory. Let's hope that's not the case. If they actually need resources, they're not going to sit there and systematically use a ton of resources that they need to physically blow up cities around the world. What would probably happen if they needed to collect the resources from our planet is they would launch about like a dozen asteroids at us, like fling them from space, and they don't even have to be visible. There just has to be enough energy force to redirect from the Kuiper belt or whatever, like the asteroid belt that's in the outer reaches of our solar system.
The Kuiper belt.
Kuiper belt, thank you. Like they just have to launch those from there and then hit our planet, and then like 100 years goes by and then there's no life left on Earth. And they could probably, if they can travel interstellarly or intergalactically, they probably can have 100 years to spare to wait until we're completely obliterated. Then they can just take our planet apart. But really quickly, consider this. There are other planets and moons in our solar system that are completely rife for the taking. And there's even asteroids floating around. I think there some asteroid discovered that was like made of like 80% gold or some stupid, ridiculous stuff like that. Like they could literally just, they don't have to worry about wiping out another civilization. They can just go cherry pick those from different empty planets or different empty asteroids throughout the solar system or the galaxy. And they wouldn't even have to touch civilization and waste resources, wiping people out or wiping civilizations out. So I think if you think about it from that perspective, it seems unlikely that we would ever come in contact with a significantly advanced alien race that would be hostile enough towards us to want to wipe us out entirely. Enslavement, that's we can talk differently about that. I would be more inclined to believe that they would enslave us before they would wipe us out, because that's free energy and free work right there.
Yeah, my fear is that we come across an alien civilization that we're their food source.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. I also think that that's more likely than being wiped out for no reason.
Yeah, dude, that is freaking horrifying. That is a horrifying thought. And it's not something I would ever want to be alive for.
Wasn't there just, did you see that movie that came out that, everybody, I'm so sorry. Like my brain is the type that is like, I won't remember. I see your face one time for 10 seconds. I won't remember your face for 20 years, but names escape me. Like if I don't talk to someone for a year, I have to think about what their name is. Like, what's that person's name again? But, who were those two comic guys, the two African-American guys who were, Key and Peele. Who's the one who was doing movies for a while? He came up with, I think it was
Peele. Jordan
Peele.
Yeah,
I think it was Peele.
Yeah, directing movies.
So they did that. He did that one called, was it like Look Up or I'm going to piss a lot of
people
off.
I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about? Hold on. Yeah. Please disregard anything about Don't Look Up. It's just called Nope. The movie is just called Nope. And I'm going to do a quick spoiler alert because I guess the movie is relatively new enough to where people might not have seen it yet. If you haven't seen Nope, you're right, Chris. It's by Jordan Peele. I would recommend going to see it and then, you know, skip ahead if you don't want to hear the synopsis. But essentially what they get after in the movie is this UFO shows up in this this southern town or whatever. They're slowly realizing that this thing is not extraterrestrial. It's an actual living thing that looks like a UFO. And when it sucks people up into it, it's not like aliens are abducting them. It's literally eating the people and the animals to survive. And it's actually a really good movie. And I think that kind of like touches on this concept that I think the reason why the government and media are trying to replace unidentified flying object with unidentified aerial phenomenon is because they really are, some of them are non-corporeal, like they're non-physical. They're just like light sources or energy sources. That is terrifying. I just saw a conspiracy video the other day that was talking about that missing flight. Remember that flight that went missing not long ago? It was a Malaysian flight something. If you Google it, there's a video that's supposedly captured from satellite and heat source that shows orbs spinning around it right before the plane vanishes. And I don't give a lot of credibility to videos like that because like you can't really source it and you can't really know if it was like AI fabricated or not. But it is an interesting concept that something that is flying around our world can interact with us and intercept us and even consume us.
You know, it's even a scarier thought. I came across this video a couple weeks ago, and it was talking about, you know, how we send all of these messages out. You know, we're taking pictures with our telescopes. What's the new telescope? It's not the Hubble. What's the other one now?
The Webb, the James Webb telescope or the James Webb. Yeah.
Yeah. We used to take pictures with the Hubble. Now we take pictures with the James Webb telescope. And folks, if you have not looked at pictures from that telescope, it's fucking phenomenal. Yeah. And here's a real mind twister. When it takes those pictures, let's say it takes a picture of something that is a billion light years away, the photo image that we got back processed by that telescope is of that location a billion years ago.
Yeah.
So in a billion years, our time, we'll be able to see what that thing looks like right now, if that makes sense. which is so crazy when you talk about time and time space, but I'll digress from that. But what I wanted to get back to was, we're taking these pictures, we're looking for civilizations, we're looking for alien life, we're looking for intelligent life, but someone, I can't remember who, put forward the concept that what if we're not hearing anything because everybody is gone and something destroyed it? And if we're not careful, we might be next on the menu. And I don't know if you ever play the game Stellaris, which is an amazing game. It's kind of like Civ, but in space, but like really detailed. And there's this expansion pack you can get called the Leviathans. And it's this giant space serpent type of thing that can fly around the galaxy and just consume entire planets. And what if, this is a crazy what if, I know, because it's probably wine driven. What if that is the case with some of the former civilizations that are out there, or that used to be out there? What are your thoughts on that?
I'm skeptical with that, because if you're talking about consuming whole planets, then I don't know. It would take an awful lot of time for even the largest creature to get around different points of space, unless it can travel through like subspace or some crazy, something crazy like that, which is possible, I guess. But if it's consuming whole planets, I mean, I think we have ways now that we can detect planets around stars from a very vast distance away. And it's kind of like, I forget the technical term for it, but it's like, if you're holding, imagine you're holding a 2-pound ball on a string, and it's tied to the string, and the string is like 10 feet long, and you start lassoing the ball around your head on the string, then your body is naturally going to wobble with the force of the swinging. So the way, like, even though we can't see planets around stars at a distance, we can detect the wobble of the star. And based off the measurement of the wobble of the star and the size of the star, we can kind of tell how many planets and what size they are, and then focus our telescopes on that area and maybe even get a glimpse of the makeup of that planet if it's close enough, there's enough refraction of light. But we can see like planets at a distance. And I guess if there was something consuming a planet or consuming planets, but then again, I mean, there are an awful lot of stars that don't have planets around them. So I guess your point is completely valid. If you want to, that's really science fiction-y, but really a really cool concept. And
yeah, I know it was a stretch, but it's something that that there's some sort of interstellar creature. If it's not eating entire planets, it's kind of like just destroying civilizations and consuming them, you know, just kind of as a food source, kind of like you said with that movie. It's just eating everything. Yeah, just sucking up everything in the vacuum. See, that's what I love about this topic. It doesn't matter how fucking far-fetched you get.
Yeah.
It's plausible until it's not.
Yeah. We could be our own science fiction writers. Yeah, that's I love it too, man. I love conceptualizing and thinking about it. But it, just to go back to the other thing you were saying about the light, like traveling over vast distances, and so absolutely true. Like I think that is one of the craziest facts about all the photos we take from deep space, is that all of those points in time that were captured are gone. Like the planets and the stars, I wonder, like, you could even argue that some of them aren't there anymore because they've burned out, they've migrated or whatever. And they're no longer in that position. So it's literally us looking at a residual haunting of space. So it's like the thing used to exist. If you're not familiar, we've talked about this before. Residual haunting is this idea that the energy from a person that existed in that time, that point in space, gets reflected through the history or through history and is still visible to certain people at certain times today, but it's not an actual person anymore. It's just where that person used to be. It's like a movie playing out in the future. It's a movie of the past playing out in the future, in the same sense that if you look at these stars and galaxies from a photo that is, you know, these things are a billion light years away, they're no longer there at the exact point. They might be gone completely, but we still see them as if they're there. But here's an even creepier, deeper concept. So if the light source is being bounced off of these stars, galaxies, and planets, and they're coming towards us, then if there was a civilization alive at that time, that point that we're seeing contains data and information from those civilizations that's reflected off of them. All the radio waves that they might have generated, all of the, even the talking. I think some people say that even some loud voices and loud sounds can make it to outer space through reverberation and travel through interstellar space continuously until it's absorbed by other things. But still, so all the light that's hitting us on this very day on Earth is going to go out there into the universe. And in a million years, it's going to get a million light years away and we're going to be a million years gone. But that light is still going to contain some data from our time here on Earth. And that is extra creepy to me.
Yeah, to add on to the creep factor, our radio waves that we use to broadcast our radio stations, those travel forever. Mm. And I think because apparently these waves can move at the speed of light, I guess. I think that's how fast they move. No, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, please. Yeah,
I don't think so. You're right. I think radio waves are, my science teacher from third grade would kick me in the ass right now. I think you're right. I think they are part of the light wave spectrum. Sorry to anyone who's a science teacher out there, and please don't switch us off. We're trying.
So if you think about it, maybe they're not civilizations like are picking up our radio wave broadcast from fucking World War II. And all they hear is these like gunfire and all this shit.
Or maybe they just like watching it. It's like, just like South Park, tonight on Fognal.
Tonight on Fognal. Welcome to season 20 of Planet Earth.
Oh my God.
According to Discover Magazine, a blog or article posted in July 30th of 2021, our radio signals have now reached 75 star systems.
Wow.
Yeah. That is absolutely crazy. So there is a possibility that there might be another civilization out there that is at the same type zero civilization in which they can't travel to us. But they could probably pick up on what we're throwing out there.
And then we're the reason why they go radio silent, because they're like, oh, shit, there are other idiot civilizations. It's like whenever when you're with your spouse or whatever, or your significant other, and like you watch another couple fighting, and then you're like, oh, sweetie, let's never be like that. And of course you're going to be like this at some point or another, but like, I just imagine the same with civilizations. They see all the shit that we throw out there, like all the big booties and the war and all the crazy, like just debauchery and stuff. And they're just like, it makes them reflect on themselves. I'm like, oh shit, like we need to do better ourselves. And then we're the reason why another civilization ended up becoming like the next civilization, like level civilization one, because we helped them get their shit together by looking so bad.
Oh, that would be hilarious, dude. But you said you had a couple of things that you wanted to cover, if you want to go ahead and jump into those.
I promise we'll get back on the alien thing before we close out. But there's one aspect, like science fact, that I always try to tell as many people as possible whenever it comes up, because I think it's one of the most, it's the craziest things that we could possibly know at this point in time in our human history based off of science. And that is that there are some stars out there in our universe that are visible that are so big that it's literally inconceivable the size of these stars. And just to put it into perspective, the largest one that we know about is called UY Scuti, if I said that right, S-C-U-T-I. And there's actually another one that this is news to me, for UY Scuti or UY Scuti. There was actually another one that I had heard about previously, and I guess we discovered an even bigger one, but I can't remember what the, oh, sorry, Canis Majoris. So there's Canis Majoris. That was the one that I would always talk about, but I guess there's an even bigger one called UY Scuti or Scuti, and you can fit 5 billion with a B, 5 billion of our suns inside of that one star, UY Scuti. To me, that is just unfathomable. Like, you talk about a million and you talk about 1,000 million as a billion, but 5,000 million, I just can't fathom the size of that sun and the amount of energy that thing must contain. And that's just one star in the known universe that is that size. There could be bigger ones. There could be way more of the same size out there. And the scale of the universe is what really truly blows my mind. So to tie it back into aliens, I really think if there was a way to capture energy from like a sun or something, these advanced races would build a Dyson sphere or something around a star to capture the energy long before they would even care about interacting or trying to get resources from our solar system and our smaller sun.
Yeah. Compared to that, yeah, our sun is measly. If you could fit a billion of our fucking suns into that thing, it doesn't compare. But you mentioned the Dyson sphere, and we talked about it before we started recording, and my dumbass thought you were talking about the Dyson vacuum cleaner. I'm like, the fuck are you talking about? Are you talking about the vacuum with the that comes with the sphere?
the that one that's unrealistically overpriced?
Yeah. Yeah. But why don't you go into what that actually is? Because yeah. I found that fascinating. I didn't know about that until you mentioned it.
Based off of the Kardashev scale that we talked about previously, the kind of rates, imagining the rating of civilizations and what would it take to reach different levels or different types in progressive order. I guess based off of that scale, that would be a type 2 planet to have the resources and the scientific
knowledge.
You mean
knowledge. Type 2 civilization?
Or sorry, what did I say? Type 2 planet? Type 2 civilization, which is considered a interstellar civilization capable of traveling between solar systems within its galaxy. The concept of a Dyson sphere is essentially, I'm sure I'm missing some nuances about it, but it's essentially a technology, a physical technology that can be built around a star that is obviously giving off heat, light, energy that can be captured. So just think of it as like a solar panel array on your house or something. It's basically just technology that's used to capture the energy from that sun or that star. I personally am skeptical of such a technology. I mean, I know that like everyone is trying to conceptualize like, well, okay, if you have a civilization that needs to travel vast distances, it needs to capture energy and use that energy efficiently to exude enough energy to go that distance. And people always think about, well, what's the biggest energy source that we know of besides a black hole? That would be stars. Unless you want to talk about like zero point energy, which is theoretical, but like stars are the next biggest thing that you can talk about in terms of capturing energy from. So we conceptualize this idea, like what if a civilization could put something to capture that energy from a star? And I recommend Googling it because it's really cool. Like some of the things that people have like envisioned how these things would look, but it's like a really cool looking network of metals and alloys that encompass or enclose a star to essentially collect and utilize all of its energy resources. But the reason I'm skeptical about that is because I just learned from this really awesome documentary that I watched like a month ago or so on the Voyager space program. And if you're not familiar, so the Voyager space program, I think it was started in the 80s. It was this massive undertaking. It took like years and years to build these two probes to be sent out into deep space, and they essentially just keep going. And there's actually a small team that is still working them. And I think we just talked about this recently, but one just went dark. I don't know if they got it back online, but they are so far away in our solar system that they've entered what's called, I think it's called the heliosphere or something like that. Like heliosphere. It's, there's like a layer of the outer edge of our solar system where solar winds create this spherical or this curved wave. And that wave of energy actually shields us from other energy sources coming outside of our solar system that could damage our planet. So the reason why, you could probably see where I'm going with this, like the reason why I'm skeptical about a civilization using a Dyson sphere is because if you blocked the energy from the sun or you were collecting it from, or that star in your solar system, you would effectively be removing your safety mechanism from the really austere, terrible resources or the terrible effects from other UV and energy sources coming out from different parts of the galaxy that damage your entire civilization. So I don't know. Like, I guess if you could harness it in a remote place around a remote star that didn't have planets, and then somehow, but then you'd have to figure out how to transfer that energy from the star and the Dyson sphere to your civilization. And I think that's, I guess it's possible, but I can't conceive right now how you do that. So yeah, I probably went way too deep on that. But what do you think about Dyson spheres? Do you have anything to add or any questions on that?
I think with the Dyson sphere itself, it could probably be possible, but you would have to have warp capability, because I don't think you'll want to do that to your own star.
Yeah.
So yeah, you would, like you said, you would block out the heliosphere you would created by the solar winds. You frickin' screw all of that up. And I'm not sure what the ramifications of that would be.
Yeah.
But if you remember in the, I think it was the second Avengers movie, one of the neutron star is actually like surrounded by like a Dyson ring type of sphere thing. And that's how Thor gets his axe. Like they forge it with the power of the neutron star.
Interesting. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is really interesting. I just wanted to throw that little fun fact there. Before we finish up for today, was there anything else you wanted to cover or any deep, like pressing questions that you might, that might have come up in your head? Because I know when we do these type of episodes, they're very much off the cuff, out of necessity. And I just wanted to throw the floor back to you to see if you had any questions or specific thoughts.
I think the last thing I would want to talk about is kind of just briefly revisit the disclosure concept in our modern society. And then one thing we didn't really get into, we talked about before we got on the podcast when we were trying to conceptualize this episode, but there's a new task force by the government that came out in 2022 that people either it went unnoticed or people just didn't really pay much attention to it. But it's called the Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Task Force under the U.S. Department of Defense, the DOD. And they're tasked with processing, reviewing, storing, and releasing, disclosing all of this information that is technical or visual or reported, like, you know, video recordings or accounts or whatever. And talking about the formations of these aerial phenomenon and what the, and trying to, they probably have analysts who are trying to conceptualize what the purpose of their, like what these functions are for every single case. It's very fascinating to me that think about that. Like you and I are old enough to remember, you know, you go back to the X-File days, the 90s, you have like the X-Files and you have like you were saying Independence Day. I still remember a time when the media grabbed on to UFO hype. And it was huge for a while. Like Men in Black came out and everybody was so obsessed with like the skies and sightings. And there were like hints here and there. There were some videos being leaked and like, but it was still very mysterious. I remember going out with my mom, like something we bonded over when I was younger, going out onto her back porch, my childhood home, and kind of living in somewhat of a remote area, but like looking out over the horizon at night, seeing these weird lights. I actually have a story myself. I don't to this day, I think I've told this on like probably one of the earliest podcasts we've done, but I'll quickly revisit it. There were two instances where I had potential UAP encounter. The first one was I was laying in my backyard by myself at night, like I did sometimes in the summer. I just love going out, lying on the small hill and looking up at the stars. But this particular night was like moonless night. And I was out there by myself. It was way past dark. It was getting close to my bedtime. And I was just kind of like breathing in the summer air and enjoying no school and just kind of like looking for shooting stars or whatever. And then this really dark orb, maybe like an oval shape almost, kind of started drifting over the house. And it looked like it was huge, but it was low. I could not make out any lights on it. And it didn't look like any of the other clouds that were in the area. And I could not see for the life of me anything on it other than the pitch blackness. Like it was almost like an empty void. And it moved slowly over the house and just kept drifting over. I don't even know how fast it was going, maybe like 20 miles an hour, so slow. In a couple of minutes, it went over the horizon or over the tree line and I couldn't see it anymore. But I, to this day, the only thing I could think of is maybe it was a hot air balloon or like a blimp, but usually those things have lights on them to let airplanes know that they're flying over. So unless its system was down, I can't see it being a balloon. So that was my first experience. The second experience was I would go out on the back porch with my mom every once in a while and we would look on the horizon in a different area of the sky and we would see these lights kind of like traveling across the sky, and they, like, you know, they look just like regular airplanes or helicopters, but the strangest thing would happen with them sometimes. They would stop and they would hover, and you're thinking like, okay, helicopter, right? But then a smaller light would come out from the bigger light, and that smaller light would travel away, and then another smaller light would come out and then travel away from the bigger light. And they clearly weren't flares, because they were traveling with intent and direction. And the strangest part about these lights is sometimes, not always, the light would return in the same path back up to the larger light. And then the whole thing would just kind of drift away. To this day, like, I know a lot about military hardware. I've been curious about that stuff for years. And I can't think of any technology in the military back then that would shoot out drones or whatever, or flares, with that significant light source that would return to the larger light source. So that's my two quick stories about spacecraft and stuff. But like, the thing I'll tie back into before I stop my ranting, apologies, is disclosure back then is completely different from what disclosure is now. Because like I was saying, back in the 90s and early 2000s, everybody would have flipped out if there was some massive exposure of alien technology or life. But today we have things like, inconceivably, we have in the open public a task force that is sanctioned and warranted by the DOD to get after this problem set. And that's what I was getting at in the beginning with this desensitization and normalization of the public, to put this out there, to say that we actually are addressing this. I really think that disclosure is coming sooner than later. Before we close out today, I want to ask you, Mr. Chris, I remember you talked about this one weird experience when you were with your mom. I think it was in New York City or something. You said a light was following you for a while and it was super strange. Can we revisit that real quickly and talk about some aspects of that and how it fits in the conversation? And did you have any other experiences with UFOs when you were growing up?
Yeah. So the story goes, we had taken the train to Manhattan and we got back to our stop around 11:30 at night. So it was my mom, me, and my sister. I was probably 12 or 13 years old at the time. And we're walking from this train station and through some, like, we get to our street, we hang a right, and we got to walk down three more blocks. But from the moment we walked out of the train station, there was this specific light in the sky that would move when we moved and stopped when we stopped. We thought, you know, it was like a spotlight or helicopters or something like that. But my mom was here visiting this past October for her birthday, and I brought that up to her. I'm like, Mom, you remember that? And she's like, how do you remember that? She's like, I was so scared that night. And I'm like, what? It wasn't like a helicopter or something? It wasn't like a spotlight or nothing? And she's like, no, it wasn't. She's like, you don't remember how fast I had you guys walking? I'm like, no, I don't remember that. I remember the lights, and, you know, we were rushing home, and then we got into the house. And as soon as, like, you know, we went inside, we looked out the window, and then it was gone. But thankfully, I haven't had anything else. And when I do fly, I like to take red eye flights just so I can sleep on the plane.
Yeah.
And my morbid curiosity, I like to sit on the window seat and look out the window to see if I'll see anything. Because you're like 30, 40,000 feet in the air, like the likelihood of you seeing something odd that high up, it you know, there's a distinct possibility that you can.
Yeah. It's and slightly real quick, higher.
Yeah. And real quick, pilots are not allowed to disclose when they see something like that.
Yeah. And if and they there do, was they that were one, told to shut up.
Yeah. There was that one Japanese pilot that lost his career, put his career on the line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he explained what it did. It's maneuvering. Like, this is not a maneuver that a plane could do. And he, you basically get blacklisted.
Can you imagine? I feel really bad for people like that, because I kind of liken this to this idea. Like, imagine if you go, and I'll actually, let me just address real quick what I'm getting after. So like, imagine this guy, he tells this story, he gets blacklisted, he loses his job and his pension as a pilot. And he goes through, he has to find like 15, 20 years of the course of his life through retirement, getting up to retirement and old age, to try to supplement his probably really good salary. I hope he found something good, but imagine it would be hard to find a replacement as a pilot for a new career. So imagine doing that. Imagine like getting 15, 20 years close to retirement after sacrificing your career. And then they disclose it. And then like, you know, aliens are real. And he was like 15 years off. You know, if he had just done, if he just waited or kept quiet, like he would have been fine. It would have been released anyway. And I kind of liken it to like, imagine like there was a point in time where there were actors and actresses and there were professional sports players who made peanuts when they originally had their jobs. But then there came a time in our civilization or our society when actors and football players and all that stuff make millions of dollars a year. And like, imagine being alive at the end of your life to see that, oh, I only made $20,000 a year playing professional sports. And then these young bucks are coming along and making $20 million a year on average. Like, imagine the shittiness about that timing. So that's what I think about when I think about the story of that pilot. But the last thing I'll say with regard to this conversation is actually, you know, one more thing I wanted to ask you about before I forget. This light that you saw in the sky, can you talk about the size of it and what was the distance away from you? Do you remember, if you had to guess?
If I had to guess, it was the size of like a disc. I'm sorry, it was the shape of a disc. The size of a disc.
Holy the fuck, size of a plate.
The size of a plate. Yeah. No, it looked like a disc, you know, your traditional flying saucer, but I couldn't make out distinct like metallic features, like, oh, it had these windows on the port side and, you know, it had like this half sphere type of thing at the top for whatever their bridge and whatever the fuck. What I do remember is that it looked like a disc and it was very bright. It was enshrouded in light. So if you look directly at it, you couldn't really make out any features. And with the spotlight, you can see like the trail of the light, you know?
Oh.
The beam.
It had a spotlight coming out.
No. I'm just saying, like, if it was a spotlight, you would notice the trail of the beam.
Right.
If it was a helicopter, you would hear the propellers.
Right. It was that and close. Yeah.
Yeah. It was probably the distance away, if I had to guess, because this was like 21 years ago. The distance away was probably like maybe like where a helicopter would be hovering.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, a couple hundred feet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it didn't look that big. Like, it's hard for me to remember. Because it was over 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But the positive thing is I'm not going crazy because my mom remembers it clearly.
Yeah. And that's also, it's probably important to point out that that was a point in time, you know, 20 years ago is essentially the turn of the century, the turn of millennia. So like we were kind of like coming online in terms of advanced technology, but we really didn't have a lot of access. I don't think anyone had access to drones in the public sphere. Like drones weren't even like a thing back then. Like you might be able to buy like a crappy hovering robot that would fly like 10 feet off the ground, but there's nothing.
They had like
those
helicopter makeshift things.
Yeah.
Propellers. That's pretty much it.
By the way, really quickly, just as a side note, anyone who's like our age or getting up there, do you guys remember one of my favorite toys? I don't know if you had this, but one of my favorite toys growing up was so simplistic and you could probably buy it at like any Walmart or store or whatever, like mass retailer. But you could buy these 3 foot long wingspan. It was essentially made out of styrofoam, but you would buy them in a plastic bag and you would assemble them with glue and it would form to be like a plane. And the plane was like really, really big for a kid. It was like I said, it was like a 3 foot wingspan or maybe even bigger. And it was ultra light because it was made out of styrofoam. And you glue it together and you build this plane and then you could throw it and it would go so effing far. I miss those days.
I had
you remember
one.
Those?
It was like purple or something.
Well, the ones I got were white and you would put the stickers on the cabin or whatever. And
yeah.
I was obsessed with those because they were so cheap and they would break so easily. They would just like hit the pavement and just smash apart. But I just had such a blast like building and throwing them. Anyway, like I just think about like all the super simplistic flying devices we had as kids and compare that to today where they have like $500 drones that you can like send up 1,000 feet in the air and have high quality cameras and they're like quieter and just like just imagine in like 50 years, the technology that kids are going to have access to. For me, I think it's going to be VR. I think VR is going to be the next insane, mind-blowing thing where you put on a headset and the quality of the visual aspects are going to be like matching your eyesight in real life, which is like 10,000 pixels per whatever. I think that's coming next. I think that's going to be like the next mind-blowing thing.
Yeah. Real quick before we wrap up today, you know that astronauts that are posted in the ISS, the International Space Station, they report seeing stuff too, and they're quickly shot down by saying it's just parts of the space station that have, you know, fallen off, which is kind of scary. Like, oh no, that's just a floating piece of chunk of the space station. Don't worry about it. Like, the fuck you mean it's a part of the space station? This shit is supposed to be intact.
Let's not forget we live in a time right now where people think the Earth is flat. Some people think the Earth is flat. and some people troll about these videos of astronauts floating in space and taking videos of them drinking water floating in like in front of them. They're like, oh, you can see the strings. And that's the society we live in now, man. I'm sorry. But
I'm sorry. Yeah. I can't go into the flat Earth stuff because
but the horizon.
The fuck?
We're like we advanced so far 2,000 years ago, and like people would make fun of us nowadays, like mathematically. Like, you know what I mean?
Dude, Hypatia got fucking skinned alive for talking about the revolution of the planets around the sun. She got skinned alive with fucking seashells. And then you got these fucking idiots on these platforms. See, that's the thing about, okay, I know.
Let's go into it.
That's the fucking problem with all these fucking social media platforms. As great as social media is, because we've met some great fucking people there. We met JJ because of social media. We met Lisa, whose episode just released from Small Town Startup on social media. Our first listener, Will, because of social media. We've talked to so many people, even the person that we were supposed to have on today, but unfortunately they couldn't make it. So we'll have them on at a later date. Social media.
Yep.
Social media can be used as a mechanism for good and networking and meeting people. But then you get to the fucking cesspool of pseudo-intellectuals that will sit there and try to debate someone like Neil deGrasse Tyson, who dedicated their lives to fucking astronomy and astrophysics.
Not actually fucking astronomy and astrophysics, just...
Yeah, I know.
I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. I had to. I'm sorry.
I know. But, dude, it's just so frustrating. I saw one of them. It was this like flat earther was on Joe Rogan's podcast trying to say that the earth is flat, and Joe Rogan was just smacking him down at every point of the argument. It's like, dude, hates them? JJ hates them. Okay. You want someone to rant on flat earthers? And if you're a flat earther and you listen to this, oh well. The earth ain't flat. Sorry.
We have
pictures.
Yeah. but those can be faked, Chris.
We have pictures of our universe and our galaxy and stars and planets.
But who took the photo?
And also, like wheel out this guy that's like a scientist working for NASA. I took the photo. It was me.
the quickest way to debunk somebody who will not listen to the science, all that stuff, just tell them that, hey, listen, there are whole companies, including Google, including Esri, like just completely their entire platform of the company runs on geospatial mapping data. And these companies, they're all separate entities from each other. They have their own corporate structure. They have their own thousands of employees. They have systems and programs that run all of these advanced algorithms that would, they're not controlled by one or even a couple people. They're completely worked on by hundreds of people that, you know, all these algorithms and stuff. And we have entire branches of the government multiple governments, not just the U.S. Every major government in the world has an entire military and or agency department focused specifically on geospatial mapping and analysis and all that satellite. There is no way you could even come close to manipulating every single person that works in every single fabricated or every single environment or every single point of those companies and governments and agencies or whatever in order to fake that the Earth is around. Because I don't even know how to like have an analogy for that, but it'd be like, you know, imagine like you would have to have imagine you send a kid to school and the school has 1,000 kids and 100 teachers or 50 teachers or whatever, and a principal and staff and all that stuff. That would be like saying that you have to get every single kid, every single adult, every single staff at that school to fake being that just for that one kid. That's impossible. That could never happen because all those people would need to keep secrets. All those people would have to be constantly wrangled or robots or whatever. That's the only way that that situation would work. And that's not how society works. That's my end of the day rant on flat earthers. Sorry.
You know, the best thing to do would be for someone like Elon Musk to round up all of these people, put them in a rocket and send them up to space
and send them to a flat planet.
Yeah.
We made a flat planet for you.
Yeah.
Where you can live on this flat planet.
Yeah. Like, why would you even burn, want the burn planet alive. To be flat?
Yeah, you'd burn alive because the sun would spend way too long on one side and you'd have no atmosphere and you would just float.
Like, it makes me think that these people never have, like, flown before. Because when a plane flies, it doesn't go in a straight fucking line. It follows the curvature of the Earth to take the quickest path to its location. Yeah.
You know, the other thing, too, that you bring up a good point about is if you actually climb high enough, or even if you go up high enough in a plane, you can actually see a slight curvature of the Earth if you go up high enough, especially I've seen it before with my own eyes. I've gone to points that are high enough to see a slight curvature of the Earth.
And did you feel uncomfortable? Did you feel uncomfortable?
I felt awkward because it felt weird.
Yeah. But yeah, man, I think we'll call it a show for today.
We went from aliens to conspiracy of flat Earth and then shitting on people. And that's enough.
Yeah, shitting on flat earthers. But my final thought is to pull it back to the whole theory of aliens going radio silent and whatnot. And disclosure. It's all possible until it's not.
Yeah.
That's my honest opinion. Would disclosure be nice? Would it be nice to see what these things look like? Yeah, it would be. Because I don't think we would go into a wholesale panic like we probably would 30 years ago. I think people are so desensitized and so interconnected that we want these things to be real. Mm. And I think, like you said, maybe 30, 40, maybe even 20 years, we'll get disclosure. And hopefully that brings betterment of our civilization. Maybe that's why they won't disclose it, because people in power have a lot to lose. Because if you insert that variable of extraterrestrials that could travel across galaxies and the universe, your money, your paper money means nothing. Your airplane means nothing. Your yacht means nothing. Right. So I'll toss it back to you for your final thoughts.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. And I don't know if I would necessarily completely subscribe to the idea that it's all self-preservation for the ultra rich and stuff like that. I think there is some degree of that, because I'm in the camp that strongly believes that if there was, so here's the thing. I don't think it would be immediately aware to people, the average person, but if you had an advanced alien technology come out into the open, even if it never even interacted with us as a civilization, if someone came out and the government and showed definitive proof, they released it to the very smart people of this world who aren't so sure, they're skeptical about visitations, and they said, no, here's proof, we have a piece of this advanced spacecraft that we captured or that we found after a crash, and here are the biologics that we've heard people talk about in disclosures, here are the alien bodies, here scientists have at it. And then the scientists go and they take a couple weeks, a couple months, they really delve into it, third party scientists, and they come back and say, holy shit, these are biologics and materials that come from a different planet, or this is way beyond our advanced or understanding of technology. And then at only at that point will people start raising this idea that, well, if aliens exist and they have the technology to get here, then isn't it theoretically possible that we can solve world hunger? Isn't it theoretically possible that we can completely eliminate our need for fossil fuels? Or even if you want to go a step, if you're in the camp of you know, you want to use fossil fuels, maybe there's even a technology that we can keep using synthesized fossil fuels, keep our trucks, keep our burning whatever, and then completely eliminate the effects on climate change, or at least the effects on the human body that comes from pollution and stuff like that. Like, all of that would become possible. Except it would completely, in my opinion, destabilize our economy. And I think that is the greatest fear of anyone keeping this stuff under wraps for long enough, is if all those factors hit the market or hit the open world at once, all of these super smart people are going to start raising questions about why our current system works the way it does. And then people are going to lose their wealth. Then companies are going to start failing because technology is going to start coming online to replace what we have as a structure. And that could seriously disturb not just the ultra rich, but also disturb the people who are working for the ultra rich, making their living doing these things that are being part of these technologies that might go away. Imagine if teleportation came. Imagine if aliens came down and said, here is teleportation. It doesn't hurt you. It doesn't maim you. It doesn't make you ever come out like fly man or like a fly or whatever, like come out with an arm shooting out of your head. It completely works. Here, test it out. If we suddenly had that technology, there'd be no more airline industry. There would be no more car industry. There would be no more transportation industry. And all of the other resources that are sold to those industries to get those machines running to get us to where we need to go would also have serious damage. And that would completely collapse and undo the global economy. And I think that is the greatest fear of anybody in power in terms of disclosure, is if that technology does exist and it ever made its way into our understanding as a society, all it would take is one patent in our legal system. And then that would completely destabilize everything. That's actually one of we should talk about this at another point in a podcast, but there are conspiracy theories out there to suggest, like, there was that guy, I can't remember his name, but you can just Google it. He supposedly was a normal guy, like a really smart, normal guy, but he came up with this concept of how to run a car on water. And then I think he tried to patent it, and then he mysteriously died like a year or two later.
He disappeared. Yep.
He disappeared. And then there's also the story, like the Nikola Tesla. I just saw some documentary or some video on YouTube about this, where there was a guy in not long ago, I think even the 2000s or maybe it was the 90s, he tried to replicate all of these experiments based off of Nikola Tesla's designs. And then he supposedly had these strange things happen, like metals and woods would meld together. There'd be fusion of things that normally don't fuse. There would be disappearances of small objects into nothingness and no trace of them. And then when scientists and himself tried to replicate these things, they didn't get the replication they needed. I think that one is more of like a, but still there's stories like that where like these advanced technologies come online and then mysterious circumstances happen to knock them off. And I have no question in my mind that whoever is in power saw that. And they're like, it's not really good, but it's also not purely evil. I really do think that if some of these technologies did make it into our society, it would fuck up a lot of lives. It would ruin a lot of portions, if not the entire economy, for a good amount of time, that, you know, be detrimental to everybody. So there is some, you know, okay, I kind of understand there, but also like, it's like ripping a Band-Aid off, where maybe we just have to go through that terrible pain initially so we can get to utopia.
But we'll have teleportation.
We'll have teleportation, and then Chris and I will be the only ones, like, we'll go in by accident and we'll become like this blob
fused into this
terrible
one
podcast super... host in one. We're even worse somehow. We're worse.
And folks, if you stuck around to this point in the podcast, we love you. Yeah. You're awesome.
Thank you. Please,
yeah,
like
we
us
appreciate
and give
it
us, give us stars like Mario, and help us get
rich. Help us grow so we can get more guests on and better equipment and hopefully, you know, do this in person instead of virtually, and we could actually go to different locations.
Yep. Yep.
And do recordings there.
Thank you for tuning into today's episode of The Wandering Road. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a rating on Apple, Google, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please share the show with your friends, as that would help us grow immensely. Also, be sure to follow us on social media. You can find us on TikTok at TWR Podcast, our Instagram at TW Road Podcast, and our Facebook by searching for The Wandering Road Podcast. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can reach us at our email address, twroadpodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. We would love to have you on the show as a guest so you can share your stories, or you could submit email submissions of your stories that we could dedicate an episode to. Thanks, and we'll catch you on the next one.